Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
All right, so we're wrapping up a three-week message series called Be Rich. And I know that's kind of a weird thing if you're walking into our church for the first time, you know, you're going, what is that? Well, what we're talking about here is basically this. Everywhere you go in this world, someone's trying to tell you how to get rich, right? Get rich quick schemes abound. Everybody kind of wants to get rich, right? So it's kind of something we focus on. It's something we think about. It's something people talk about often on the television. And what has occurred to us is simply this. Everybody talks about how to get rich, but nobody ever talks about how to be rich and what it means to be rich. And so it's very possible that you could spend your entire life chasing this idea of getting rich and get there and not know it. I mean, you could chase it for your entire life and never know that you already have it, and then you'll be one of those people who is rich but isn't any good at being rich. Everybody probably here knows somebody who's rich, but they don't know that they're rich, and so they're no good at being rich. So we decided, let's talk about how to be rich, how to be good at it, and then when we get there, hopefully we'll all get there and we'll all know how to be good at being rich. Okay, so that's kind of what we're after. I know you're like, what? Okay, so what we're kind of zeroing in on is simply this. If you earn $37,000 a year, you are in the top 4% of the world's wealthy. You're in the top 4% of the world's wealthy. Bump it up just a little bit, make it 45K a year. You earn 45K a year, you're in the top 1%. You are in the top 1% of the wealthiest people on this planet. 99% of the planet would look at you and envy your lifestyle. And I know you're looking at, when I say that, you're like, shut up. No way, man. You don't want my life, believe me. I know you're looking at me going, you don't know my problems. Yeah, I get it, I understand. Here's something else I understand. 99% of the world envies your lifestyle. 99% of this planet would look at you and go, I really wish I could be like that. So we don't feel that. We don't feel rich, do we? We don't feel rich at 45K a year. Part of that is because we live on Long Island, right? We got Long Island issues. It's not just like American middle class issues, it's Long Island issues. In Long Island, there's extra standards for what it means to be rich. So we don't feel rich. And because we don't feel rich, we don't think we are rich, and we don't know how to be rich. And did you know, another thing driving this message series is that there are places in the Bible that actually address wealthy people. There are verses in the Bible specifically aimed at the wealthy. And because we don't feel rich and we don't get that we're rich, we look at those verses and we always think they're for somebody else. We're always like, no, that's somebody else who needs those verses. Somebody else has those issues. And the reason, it may seem strange to you, the reason why there are some verses in the Bible spoken specifically and aimed specifically at rich people is because rich people have additional temptations and additional issues that poor people simply do not struggle with. There are things that rich people deal with and struggle with, and stresses and pressures and stuff that a poor person is just never going to encounter. In the immortal words of the great theologian Biggie Smalls, mo' money, mo' problems, okay? So that's kind of just how it works, and that's what's up. So there are places in the Bible that God directs. There are verses specifically for wealthy people, and if we don't know we're rich, we'll just think these verses are for somebody else. And the truth is, these verses are for us. These verses are for us. And here's what it says. This is the Apostle Paul preaching, talking to his young disciple Timothy. Timothy is a pastor. Timothy has some people in his church that are very wealthy, and Paul is talking to him about those people. And these verses, you guys, are for us. This is us. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them, teach them, Timothy, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that, and pay attention to this, this is big, so that they, the wealthy, may experience true life. Why, Paul? Why should we focus outward? Why should we not become arrogant because of our wealth? Why should we not lean into our wealth? Why should we be rich in good works? Why should these people give money away and help others and be a blessing to others? Why? It's very simple. It's not because Paul wants something from them. Paul wants something for them. It's so that they, the wealthy, may experience true life. Because if they, the wealthy, that's us, don't understand that they're wealthy, if they don't get that they're already rich, they'll spend their whole lives chasing something they already have. And then they'll become arrogant. As soon as they get something, they'll become entitled. And have you noticed that entitlement tends to turn a person into a jerk? Have you seen that in action in life? Have you observed it? Oh, you have, haven't you? Yeah, we don't like entitled people. Entitled people get on our nerves. And so what Paul is saying is, look, they won't see it coming. It'll sneak up on them. It comes in the back. It won't even pop up on their radar, but they're going to wake up one morning and they're just going to be entitled because they're a little arrogant, because they think they deserve more, because they have a little bit more nice stuff. And they're just going to think, they won't think that they do, but they'll think they're a little better than everybody else. And then they'll lean into their wealth. And the more they lean into their wealth, the more they're going to try to gather more wealth unto themselves. And that's just going to become a black hole. All of a sudden, those people, the wealthy, are just inward bound. Everything about their life is just like a spiral, and the more momentum it has, the more it pulls you down. And if they're not careful, if they, the wealthy, aren't careful, they're not going to experience true life. They're not going to know, they're going to miss the best part of being rich. They're going to miss the opportunities they have to be a blessing to others. Because guys, here's the truth. All the money in the world won't make you feel rich. It's being a blessing to others that makes you feel rich. All the money in the world won't make you feel rich. We always think somebody else is rich. No matter how much, even super rich people, you point to them and go, hey, are you wealthy? They go, no, somebody else is wealthy. It's always somebody else who's rich. What God's called us to in this moment is to kind of zero in a little bit and drill down on this and get this through our head. He's called us to live outward bound. Here's another thing. Money isn't going to make you happy. Let me say that a little differently. Money won't make you happy unless your basic needs are not being met. People say sometimes, well, money can't buy happiness. That's actually not unequivocally true. If your basic needs are not being met, money can buy happiness. If you're homeless, if you live outside, if you're this is proven. If you live outside, you don't have enough to eat, you're exposed to the elements, and you're struggling that way, then enough money to bring you indoors and buy you some clothing and give you a hot bowl of soup is going to make you happy. Yes, that's obvious. That's self-evident, right? That's true. Okay, that's the truth. But once basic needs are met, money can't buy happiness. Once basic needs are met, more money doesn't equal more happiness. It's just not how it works. That is the threshold. Once your basic, what, you live indoors, you got enough food to eat, you're not worried about clothing, your basic needs are covered and you know that they are. Like, once that's in place, you're not gonna increase happiness with more money. If you earn 50K a year, the guy who earns 150 is not three times happier than you. He's at the same happiness level, you follow? Because the pressure followed him right up the ladder. Okay, the guy who earns 500,000 is not 10 times happier than you. He might very well be more miserable. Because the more we gain, the more momentum this idea has, and the more it sucks us inward. So money doesn't actually buy happiness the way sometimes we think it does. And if you're not careful, I'm so sorry, I have to ask, there's a little girl wandering the aisle here, and I don't know who she is, but she shouldn't be wandering the aisle alone. Uptown and Wild Kingdom are wonderful environments for a child of that size. Just a little reminder. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So imagine for a minute you had no fear of public speaking. Imagine for just a minute you have no fear of public speaking. I'm told that public speaking is one of those things that people get rattled about. So once in a while someone comes to me and goes, do you get nervous before you preach? I'm like, I never do. I'm excited. I'm always like, I can't wait to get up here. There's no anxiety in me. I'm like all excited. See, he's nervous now. He's just leaving because he thinks I'm... Okay, so... You're not going to have to speak publicly. Don't worry. But don't ask me to climb up a ladder. Okay. I hate heights. I don't even want to put the Christmas lights on my house. It's like the worst day of my year. Okay. This is as high up as I want to be off the ground. Okay. I don't like going up, but I have no fear. But I'm told that some people have a fear of public speaking. So I want to ask you, if you have a fear of public speaking, imagine that you didn't. And imagine that you were invited to speak to the 300 wealthiest people on the planet. Imagine for a minute that you had the opportunity to speak to the 300 wealthiest people. Our auditorium holds about 300 people, and if the 300 wealthiest people were in this room, okay, Bill Gates is in the room, the Sultan of Brunei is in the room, that Mexican telecom giant guy is here, there's three or four oil sheiks with like translators in their ear to translate what you're saying. The 300 wealthiest people from around the globe are in the room, and they're waiting for you to hear what you have to say. What would you say to them? What's up? Good start. You might follow that up with, how about y'all give me some money? Right? Okay, but after that, okay, after those two things, I bet, after a few minutes, you'd say this. Guys, look, you have more than you could ever spend. You guys are all billionaires. You're not only are your basic needs met, your basic needs are met for the rest of your life, and not only are your basic needs met, every need is met. I mean, you're trying to invent new ways to have needs just so you can meet them, okay? Like, you guys are, you have luxuries that the rest of the world, you could never spend on yourself all that you have. Take some of that wealth and do good with it. That's what you'd say. You'd look at them and you'd go, think of the suffering you could alleviate. Think of the people you could help. Think of how you could move God's kingdom forward. Think of the amazing, cool things that you would do. And I bet that would make you feel more wealthy than all the stuff you do that's inward bound. That's what you'd say to those people. You'd say, come on, guys, you can't possibly spend it all on yourself. Do something amazing. Do something good. That's what you'd say to the 300 wealthiest people on the planet. And what we do when we think that way and we go down that road and we enter into that analogy is we forget almost in a minute that 99% of the world would say the same thing to us. 99% of the planet would say the same thing to us. If I could pluck some guy out of the slums of Calcutta and bring him up onto the stage and sit down there right next to you, he would look out at us and he'd say, guys, come on. Look at you people, you have so much. You just have so much. Your needs have been met for a long time. Do something good. Do something amazing. Think of the suffering you could alleviate. Think of how you could move God's kingdom down the field. Think of what you could do if you would not make it all about you. Think of that. I mean, that would just be mind-blowing, wouldn't it? And you'd sit there and you'd go, yeah, you're probably right. Because when it's all about you, when it's all inward bound, when it's all inward focused, we end up miserable. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever, see, here's where we get into trouble. We think all of our extra is for us. Now, once your basic needs are met, you have extra, yes? That's a yes. I know you don't feel like you have any extra, but you do. Once your basic needs are met, you have options. You could spend them on clothing, or you could upgrade your cable package, or you could, and the minute we have extra, we spend it on us. That's what we do. But what we find in those moments is we're often unsatisfied. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone out for a really expensive dinner and come away from the meal and gone, eh? You ever done that? Sure, yeah, well, murmur. Yeah, you have. You don't have to name the restaurant. It's okay. Yeah, we've all done that. Have you ever gone on a vacation? You ever take like a vacation and come home from the vacation and you're like more tired than you were before you left, and it actually was an unfulfilling experience? Yeah, you've had that happen to you. Now, I love me some vacations. I'm all about taking a vacation. Nothing wrong with taking a vacation. But I know, and you know, sometimes you take a vacation and you're on day four and you're sitting there in your beach chair and you've already got the suntan and you've already had the umbrella drink and you're like, I can't take any more selfies. I can't make everybody already knows how fabulous my life is. There's nothing more to do on that front. You know, and you come home from it and you're kind of like, ah, it's frustrating. It's a little bit like, ah, I don't know. You know, it's kind of a little weird. right? And you don't ever say that. You don't come home and go, oh man, no, it was horrible. I didn't have a good time. When you come home, you tell everybody, oh, it was fabulous. It was the greatest vacation ever. We had such a good time. Because you don't want to sound like, you know, a knob, right? You don't want to come home and be all like, oh, it was a bad vacation. Oh, poor me, right? So you come home and you tell everybody how great it was. But the truth was, you got off that airplane and you got back to your life and it actually wasn't that fulfilling. And the reason it wasn't that fulfilling is because for the whole thing, front to back, it was all about you. Now that's what a vacation is. You vacate from your job and you get some rest. But if that vacation isn't generating some thankfulness, if that vacation isn't in some way pointing you to God, if that vacation isn't in some way stirring you up to be grateful for what you have, that you might come home and be a little bit more generous with others than you spent it all inward, and it's never, ever, ever gonna be fulfilling. Did y'all follow that? God's called us to live outward bound. He's called us to honor him. He's called us to do something. And not just to do good and to live outward, not just the way regular people do, but the way rich people do. He's called us to process things a little bit differently, right? And so when we spend our lives all inward bound, we miss it. All the money in the world isn't gonna make you feel rich. It's what you give away and what you do to help others that makes you feel like a wealthy person. That's what makes you, that's when you start to experience true life like a rich person. So what's going on is some of you now are thinking, well, you know, I give, I share, it's just that I like nice things. You ever hear somebody say that? I just like nice things. Can I just tell you, can we just hit this for a second? Don't ever say that out loud, okay? Because everybody likes nice things. Yeah. Nobody in here is going, no, I prefer terrible things. I like low quality stuff. Nobody does that. Nobody says that. The problem is we say, this is how we justify spending all of our extra on ourselves. This is how we justify, oh, I have extra, it's for me. I have extra, it's for me. Extra, mine. I just like nice things. That's how we justify living inward bound, right? Your ability to appreciate nice things has increased with your ability to afford them. And not everybody can afford them. Everyone appreciates nice things. It's just that not everybody is bound into a life where all the extra is for us. So what God's called us to do is to develop a lifestyle of generosity, to start thinking about how we can honor God. And what God calls us to is to tithe. That means tithing is when 10% of what comes in is given back out as an offering. The word tithe, the Greek word for tithe is the word dekato, with the deka means 10, like the word decade. So 1/10 of what comes in comes back out as an offering. Now when we say that, people get real nervous. And if you don't know what tithing is, let me explain it. Let me break it down for you real simple within Christianity. This is how tithing works. If you make $10, you give a dollar away. You make $100, you give $10 away. You make $1,000, you give $100 away. And if you make $10,000, you go, whoa. That's how tithing works. Okay? That's what people do. That's how it works, right? Because it's easy to give away a buck. You know, I make 10 bucks, you're a dollar. Okay, easy. I give away 10 bucks. Not that bad. I could put, you know, make $1,000, give away 100. You know, parting with a C note is no small thing, but on a good day you might. But when somebody's like, whoa, okay, I got 10,000, I get to tithe on, I have to give away $1,000, I have $10,000 to tithe on, whoa, hold up. Right? And so this is where our brains kick in. This is where our old nature starts going, right? So your brain is telling you and everything in your mind is telling you, don't give that money away. That's mine. I mean, I earned it and you did, and it is yours. It's absolutely yours. You earned it and you don't have to give it away. It's an opportunity. Right now, some of your antenna are going up, and I can't help it. I have to address it. Some of you are here, you're the first time, you're like, it's a preacher, he's got an angle. Right? He's trying to get into your wallet. He's trying to get you. All I can say is I don't want a thing from you. I don't know how to say it any differently than that. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm being as transparent and as sincere as I can. If you think I'm trying to get into your wallet, go be generous somewhere else. It doesn't have to be here. Okay? But hear this, get this. If you don't decide ahead of time to be generous, it'll never happen. Many of you are thinking, I'll be generous when I get rich. I'll tithe when I get rich. I'll tithe later, right? And what we miss is this. The richer you get, the harder it is to tithe. The wealthier you get, the harder it is to be generous. Study after study after study after study has shown that the more wealth you acquire, the less wealth you give away. It's a fact. The more it accumulates, the more it draws you in, the more it sucks you in, the more it makes you inward focused. So if you're gonna tithe, it's gonna be, let me say it again, if you're getting wealthier over time, it'll never be easier than right now to tithe. It'll only grow harder as time goes on. This is as easy as it's ever gonna be to start honoring God. Right? Because it's easy with 10 bucks, it's easier with 100 bucks. When you start making more money, it's harder to part with it. 10% is 10% across the board. It's the same percentage. It feels the same in terms of the math, but it doesn't feel the same in terms of the emotional impact. And that's why, if you're gonna tithe, you're gonna have to prioritize it. A couple years ago, I had a conversation with my wife, and we're talking about our long-term look at the world and about hopefully the ability to retire someday, right? I know it's kind of crazy, I'm not ready to retire now, but my oldest daughter is a freshman in high school, she's thinking about college, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the years seem to be like whipping by here. So I don't ever know if I even want to fully retire. I just probably, there's gonna come a day when I don't want to preach every week and I want to step it down a little bit. I always thought, like, somebody asked me once, how do you want to die? And I always thought, like, I want to preach like the awesomest sermon ever and then just drop dead right in the pulpit. That's like what I want to do. So, but when I'm old, when I'm very old, you know, when I'm super old, I just like drop the mic and be like, that's it. Okay, so maybe someday. But I think I'd like to maybe retire someday. And we were looking at our books and going, you know, there's not enough there, right? And there's no state federal pension plan for ministers. So it's kind of on me to plan. And so my wife and I were unhappy with what the future looked like financially for us. And we said, okay, we're going to make some changes. We're going to start at the end of every month. We're going to take everything extra and put it towards retirement. End of the month, we're gonna try to live a little more frugally, not go out to eat as much, you know? Maybe a little bit more Taco Bell, a little less Cheesecake Factory, you know? Something just make a few adjustments. You know how you do, right? You make a few adjustments and you say, we could probably downgrade the cable package one notch. Or, you know, we're trying to figure out ways we could be a little bit more frugal. These are not big lifestyle changes, right? The rest of the 99% of the world would look at you and go, oh, poor baby, you know? But we just made a few changes and we thought, you know, end of the month, whatever's extra, we'll put in the retirement thing. And you know what happened, don't you? There was nothing left at the end of the month. You know how that works, right? We were serious about it. We were like, oh, we're high-fiving each other, like, woo, yeah, we're gonna do this, and we'll cut it down, and we'll start saving some more for retirement. Everything extra at the end of the month, retirement. There was never anything extra at the end of the month. Not ever. We spent it all every month. We figured out how to spend it all every month. You know what we realized? If we're gonna save for retirement, we have to prioritize it. We're gonna have to prioritize it. At the beginning of the month, we're gonna have to say, this money is coming out of one of our paychecks, and we're gonna save this percentage, we're gonna pick the percentage, and we're gonna put that away and treat it as gone and learn how to live on the rest. That's what we had to do with our retirement. Guys, that's what you're gonna have to do if you wanna tithe, if you wanna honor God. There's not ever gonna be a bunch of leftover at the end of the month. And the leftovers are for you anyway. Leftovers are for you. Do you serve leftovers to guests? When you have leftovers, like day-old food in your fridge, two-day-old food, three-day-old fridge, 4 days, you're like, can I still eat it? I don't know, right? When you have guests, do you go, hey, I got some four-day-old meatballs here. Come on, guy. You don't do that. You don't serve leftovers to guests. Leftovers are for you. You have the leftovers. You enjoy the leftovers. Don't give God the leftovers. Prioritize generosity and say, I'm gonna be a person who knows how to be rich. I'm gonna be generous. I'm gonna help others. I'm gonna make it a priority. And so what we're challenging you to do, and this is what we're in the middle of, right? Beginning next Sunday, we're challenging you for 90 days, for one season of your life, for 3 months, tithe. Honor God. Prioritize it. Set it up at the beginning of the month and pull the trigger and say, off we go. And what we're gonna do as a church is make this commitment to you. If in these 90 days you have any kind of a financial setback, if in these 90 days you have any kind of a financial issue, we'll just give you your money back. We won't even ask you, we'll ask you why, because we love you and we would love to help you, but we're not, there's no, I promise, I'm saying this publicly, I'm on record, no issues, no, we'll just write you a check. Just give in such a way that it's trackable, okay? Don't come to us and go, I put $100,000 in loose change in the offering plate, I'd like it back. Don't do that, okay? We're not doing that, okay? Just give in such a way that it is trackable, and I promise you, our whole staff is behind this. Our whole staff is doing this, by the way. Our staff, our teams, we're all behind this, okay? If you have any kind of an issue in the next 3 months, it starts next, we're not gonna talk about it next week because it's Easter and we'll have guests. We're not gonna talk about it, but it begins next week for April and May and June. Tithe, honor God. Watch what happens, you guys. Watch what happens when you decide for the first time in your life, I'm gonna live outward bound. For some of you, it's gonna be the first time in your life that you ever feel rich. It's gonna be, you're gonna love how it feels. It's gonna blow your mind. It'll never be easier than it is now. We're giving you a safety net. We're giving you the ability to step out in faith without any real risk to your finances. Give this a shot. Watch what God does. And again, you think I'm trying to get into your wallet? Go give it away somewhere else. But try God on this principle and watch how good it feels when you stop living all about you and start making it your business to use your wealth to be a blessing to somebody else. It's just gonna blow your ever-loving mind how good it feels. And you will experience true life. That's gonna turn you on in ways you never even thought possible. There are gonna be batteries inside of you that start charging up that you didn't even know existed. I can't wait to see what God does as you guys step out in faith. I'm gonna be praying for you. We'll talk about, we begin a brand new sermon series after Easter, but we'll talk about this a little bit more the week after Easter as we kick this thing off. And with that, I love you people. I'm really, really, I just love serving this church and I'm praying for all of you as you step out in faith on this. Let's pray together now. Father, we love you and we thank you for being so good to us and we thank you for caring for us the way that you do and loving us the way that you do. And Father, I'm asking one person at a time here in this church, one moment at a time, that you'll help us to really deeply, heavily connect with you on this. Father, we're so tempted to live inward bound. We're so tempted to think somebody else is rich. Remind us today that we are ridiculously blessed and quicken our hearts to step out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.